Waddle and I have talked about it for the last several weeks. We didn't expect much from this Blackhawks team, and especially the way they opened in Florida. We're like, oh boy, this could be worse than we thought. And then there's no Doc and there's no Taves. Are they gonna sell? Now all of a sudden the Hawks are 12-7-4.
Yeah.
They played great hockey in the month of February.
It's been fun to watch.
And it has been destination TV.
Yeah.
And wherever the Hawks go, Eddie goes. Eddie Olczyk, not only the local voice for the Blackhawks, but the national voice on NBC for the NHL coverage. And he's just awesome at what he does. And he joins us right now for the start of this really tough stretch for the Blackhawks. Eddie, how you feeling today?
Hey. Tommy!
What's going
how
on?
Doing, boys? How are you?
We're fantastic. And, you know, what's making it more fun is, you know, that we're big Bulls fans and the Bulls are playing a little bit better than we thought. And to me, Eddie, the biggest surprise is how good at this point the Hawks are. Are they even surprising you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a little surprised, but when you look at the work ethic and the job that Jeremy, Coach Colleton has done with his staff, and look at, they've made a plan. You know, a lot of young players were going to get an opportunity, Sylvie, and, you know, a lot of these guys have stepped up and taken advantage at different times. I mean, whether it's a guy like Ian Mitchell, who's come in and solidified himself as a for sure defenseman in the National Hockey League, Nicholas Beaudin stepping in, chipping in when Adam Boqvist was out of the lineup, a guy like Lucas Carlson, and, you know, there I'm talking about, and Adam Boqvist, I mean, those are, you know, four young defensemen that have all, you know, pitched in at certain times and have gotten the opportunity. And, you know, talking to Stan Bowman, the president of hockey operations and general manager for the Hawks before the season started, and, you know, I just having a conversation, he just said, look, you know, there are going to be times when our young players are, you know, going to make mistakes, and then they're going to go back out there, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to go back out there. And I think as a young player, there's a difference between knowing that, hey, you know what, if I screw up on the test, I might not get another opportunity at it, right? But I think that the players understand that, you know, look, if you make a mistake, there's a pretty good chance you're going to go back out there. But there is that fine line. If a guy keeps making the same mistake over and over, well, eventually he's either going to be taken out of the lineup or he's going to bypass the shift. So the young players have made an impact. And look, at a guy like Brandon Hagel has stepped in and played extremely well. I mean, he was on the fourth line. He wasn't even in a lineup. And then he gets inserted, and couple of games in, you look, his nose over the puck mentality, he's around the puck a lot. It took him forever to get his first goal, but now all of a sudden, you know, he's been playing in a second line role, killing penalties. And I mean, there's so many good things, and I haven't even talked about Kevin Lankinen yet, who in my opinion right now would be in the conversation for rookie of the year in the entire National Hockey League when you look at his numbers. A big bounce back win for him against the Red Wings. Now look, you know, the Hawks gave up a boatload of opportunities against arguably the worst team in the NHL, so certainly they're going to have to clean that up before they get into the stretch of games. But, you know, he's been terrific, and look at, I mean, Patrick Kane is an MVP candidate right now without question when you look at the individual statistics and what the team has been able to do. So lots of positives, but as you guys, right before you brought me on, I mean, this is going to be the toughest stretch of the season for this team, and all you can worry about is the game tonight, and that's against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That's where I was going next, Eddie. I mean, the start has been fantastic. It's fun to watch. Is this where we learn where this team currently really is? You've got Tampa for, what, 5, and then Florida for 4 over the next 2 weeks?
Yeah. Well, I think it will be a great test and a challenge. There's no doubt about it. But I think when you look at, you know, where the Hawks were at the start of the season and where they are now, I mean, it's been A++ as far as the chair I'm sitting in. And look, at to me right now, there is no reason why this team cannot and should not make the playoffs. There's a lot of hockey to go, but when I look at the three teams, I mean, you know, the three teams that I think are a slam dunk are Tampa, Carolina, and Florida. Like, I think those three teams, to me, I would be shocked if one of those three teams didn't make it. So really, in essence, the Hawks are in a team picture with, in my opinion, Dallas and Columbus, and that's it. And Columbus has had a real difficult time. Dallas, you know, they've only played, I think, I want to say they played maybe 16 or 17 games now at the most, because they had a COVID outbreak early in the year. And then they had, obviously, the storms that affected a lot of people in Texas there, where they didn't play for about 10 days. And, you know, they can't score either. Now, everybody has injuries. Everybody's dealing with COVID. But that's a team. I look at Dallas to really be the main competition for the Blackhawks. But what I've seen so far, the eye test tells me, without question, no hesitation at all, is that this team is a playoff team with what I've seen so far for almost the first half of this 56-game season.
Eddie Olchuk joining us on the Corona Hotline. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. We'll never see anything like this again, Eddie, with the way the schedule is lining up. We've gotten used to back-to-back games like the Hawks just had with the Wings, but three in a row against this really good team with the Lightning. How will that impact it or make any difference, if anything, that you're playing three straight at home against the same team?
Well, it's kind of like a playoff type of setup, Sylvie, really, when you think about it. And yeah, you're going to have three at home, and, you know, very rarely. I mean, back in the day, you used to go 2-3-2. I don't know if the NBA is still doing that or not because of travel and whatever. But, you know, it does happen in the playoffs. And look, in a 56-game schedule, and you've already played 40% of your schedule, you know, like these are playoff games. I mean, they're four-point games, and it should be a lot of fun. The pre-scout is fairly easy for the coaching staff. The players know what's going on. The teams know each other, and you just go out there, and whoever executes the best is going to find a way. And, you know, it's nothing like, I don't know if you guys had heard this or not, but with all the, you know, the COVID protocols and everything going on with the schedule and the weather the last couple of weeks, the St. Louis Blues and the Arizona Coyotes, they played seven straight games against one another, which, you know, look, by the time you get to four or five, you know, you're pulling your hair out and you're going, you know, just give me another team, please, would you? Like, just get me out of here. But, you know, look, it's the way the schedule is. And look, Sylvie, I hope you're right, man. I hope we can all get on the right side of this and get back to, you know, whatever we're going to be doing moving forward. But, like I said, it's a hand that's dealt, and the Hawks they're going up against a team in Tampa, defending Stanley Cup champs. Their goaltender's playing out of his mind right now. He's had three straight shutouts. He's had 10 straight periods where he hasn't given up a goal. Wow. And, you know, this is a team that certainly knows how to play, and it's going to be a great challenge. So I know the great Pat Foley and I are looking forward to broadcasting these next couple of games here tonight and tomorrow, and we'll see how the Hawks play. But, you know, look, you just play who's on your schedule. And as I said at the start of the year, Allen Iverson would love the National Hockey League right now, because practice? There is no practice right now in the NHL, except for these last couple of days for Coach Colleton and the Hawks, with, you know, having a couple of days off since that Red Wing game a couple of days ago on Sunday, and then obviously this game tonight.
Eddie, we've spent the last couple of weeks, as we always do, playing silly radio games, and where does this player, you know, with Kaner continuing to play at such a high level, you know, we get in, and we had the conversation last time we talked to you. You let it be known that you think that at the end of his career, he will end up being the greatest American-born player of all time. Where do you believe will it also be true that he'll be the best Blackhawks player of all time as well? Where does he sit right now, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I look at this, you know, from obviously having honored enough and humbled enough to be able to play in the league and obviously play for the Blackhawks and then coach in the league for a handful of years and then now sit from afar as a broadcaster. And I look at this, I don't know if there's a right or a wrong way to look at it, but I look at it as the complete package. I look at regular season. I look at success of the franchise. I look at individual awards. I just look at everything. I don't know if you can just look at regular season or just playoffs or, you know, records that a particular athlete has been able to set. But I would say this right now, and I feel very comfortable in saying this. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. And again, I saw Stosh. I saw the great, late, great Stan Mikita play just vaguely. I just remember Stosh vaguely. The same with Bobby Hall, you know, more when he, you know, when he was in the WHA. But from a Blackhawks history point of view, USA hockey, American-born player in the National Hockey League, Patrick Kane has his foot on the top stair, in my opinion, on both because of what he's been able to accomplish to this point. Look at, I think he could play another 7 or 8 years if he wanted. That's just me. I haven't talked to Kaner about that. I mean, I interviewed him the other day after he scored his 400th, and I think you could just kind of feel like, I don't think he was talking about wanting more, like, you know, I want 500 goals. I want 600 goals, and I want another couple of Stanley Cups. Like, that's what I felt. I don't know what the great Blackhawk fans or people watching the other night felt if they saw that. Like, that's what I felt. Like, I felt he's not just looking at 500 or, you know, getting the playoffs or whatever. Like, I think he wants a couple more Cups, and I think he wants 600 goals and whatever happens. So, to me, for what he's done individually – for this franchise, the winning 3 championships in 6 years, to me, kind of separates him from, you know, a lot of players, both American-born players and players that have played in the league and obviously played for the Blackhawks. But it's a great argument. Sylvie, I heard you on with Cap the other day on the couch of Dr. Hood. And, you know, you could make an argument. I could make an argument that when it is all said and done is that, you know, that Kaner would be in the team photo for the, you know, one of the top 3 or 4 greatest athletes that have ever played. And again, I hear the comments, well, if you're a hockey guy, well, of course you're going to have him higher. Well, yeah, okay. If you don't follow hockey and you don't like hockey, you're not going to have a hockey player there. I mean, you know, but if you have somebody that, you know, has some knowledge and looks at what the player has done in all sports, I said the other day, I forget what I was doing, but like, I've never been more awestruck in 2 situations in my life. One, I was skating around the national in a, my first playoff game at home in the conference finals in 1985. We were playing the Edmonton Oilers. We were down 2-0 in the series, and I'm skating around in warmups. The old Chicago Stadium is up for grabs. You know, we're 4 wins away from going to the Stanley Cup final in my rookie year, the NHL, my hometown. Like, I'm just jacked, right? And I'm skating around warmups, and I look in the corner right before the national anthem, and who do I see sitting in the corner but the Kansas Comet? I'm like, oh, my, this is a big game. If Gale Sayers is sitting 4 rows from the ice, I'm going like, man, this is like unbelievable. And I don't think I've ever been as awestruck in that situation when I saw Gale Sayers watching the Blackhawks play a game. You know, just because, like I said, I remember who Gale Sayers was. I knew he was an unbelievable Bear. I know he didn't play a long time, but for me, I look at a guy like Gale Sayers and go, gosh, like, I mean, for what he did and what he accomplished, like, it was just unbelievable. And then again, I got a chance to meet, because Michael Jordan, you know, I was drafted this. I want to verbalize this the right way, because I know Cap will be, you know, calling me in 20 seconds. But
yes.
I was drafted the same year that Michael Jordan was when he came to the Bulls, and I got a chance to do a photo shoot with him and whatever. When I look at those two guys, look at Michael Jordan, I mean, is at the top of the mountain. I don't think there's any argument about that. But then you start talking about the other legends that have played sports in this town, whether they played for 6 years or 16 years, and how did they accomplish. But I really believe, long-winded guys, is that Kaner, when it's all said and done, I really believe it, because the impact that he's had on the city, the franchise, the winning, the individual awards, you'd be pretty hard to find another guy that's accomplished what he has. And like I said, I do believe he's got one foot on that top mantle already in both those categories I talked about.
It's well said, Eddie, because, you know, when you look at some of our other favorite teams, and you brought up the Bears with Gale Sayers, like, that 85 team was so damn good. They only could win one. You know, the Cubs that we talked about, we lived it together in 16.
Yeah.
And all the, like, Chris Bryant's got, you said about Patrick Kane's got one foot on the top step. Chris Bryant is 1 foot out the door because they're going to trade him. Like, this longevity is tough. And not only did Patrick Kane basically hit a home run in the bottom of the 9th to clinch a World Series, and, you know, to make the analogy, by winning that Stanley Cup in Game 6 in overtime with a game-winning goal. control. They ran it back in 13. They almost won it again in 14. That series was incredible. And then they bounced back from the 14 elimination, and they win it again in 15. And, like, you can't take those postseason runs away from Kane, unlike anybody else in this city except for Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, and I think Tommy and Sylvie, too, you know, again, like I said, you look at all of the – I mean, look, we've been blessed in this town. Like, I could be more proud to be from this city and have played for my hometown team for 5 years and now to be able to broadcast the games locally. Like, I mean, this is my home, and I'm a huge sports fan. I mean, I love baseball. I love football. I mean, and to see all of these great players and you know, knowing who Ron Santo was and Randy Huntley and you know, Billy Williams and Ernie Banks and, you know, Dick Butkus and, you know, Scottie Pippen and the Big Hurt. And, I mean, there's just so many players. Like, again, it is an unbelievable argument. It's an unbelievable debate, and it's great to have opinions and to go back and forth. But, again, just from where I sit and having lived it at the highest level in hockey, I just look at it, like you said, Sylvie, just, you know, the complete package of the player, the impact that he has had. And also, too, and, you know, you mentioned, you know, when he was hat-trick Kane there against the L.A. Kings. Like, I get this question a lot, and I know you guys are pressed for time, but I like, in biggest goals or important goals, and, you know, when I think of Pat Kane, like, you go back to 2010, when the Hawks were in a fight with the Nashville Predators and Hossa took the 5-minute penalty and they're shorthanded and they're down and Coach Q, you know, goes to Kaner to, you know, out there at the end of the game, and rightfully so, he gets a shorthanded goal to tie the game, and
right.
And then Hoss comes out of the penalty box and scores the game winner, and then the Hawks go into Nashville and take them out and they go on to win their first Stanley Cup. Big time player on the biggest stage, and you know, it's great debate. There's no doubt about it.
Well, it'll be great to hear you again. I know there's been a few days off here. We'll be watching tonight, and thank you for all the time as always. And we love what you do. Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
Hey guys, thanks for having me, Sylvie. Hope you're feeling good, pal, and everybody stay safe out there. And just want to make mention, if I could, real quick.
Sure.
March is colorectal cancer awareness month, and being a lucky colon cancer survivor, I know the world we're living in and the pandemic and everything that's going on, but not only, you know, colon cancer and everything else under the umbrella, but, you know, we have to make sure that we are looking after ourselves and taking care of ourselves. And if you don't feel right, please raise your hand and go see your doctor, and you know, you'll be in great hands. But I just want people to know about the awareness month of the month of March, and if we can help one person either, you know, stay away from it or deal with it or get through it, then it was well worth the last 18 minutes you guys have had on my show. So I love you guys. You guys are awesome, and look forward to chat with you guys sooner than later.
Fantastic. You're the best. Thanks, Eddie.
See you guys.
There's a guy who you follow, and I was, you know, look, we were in the same club as far as being diagnosed with cancer, different types of cancer, but I'll always remember it for whatever reason. I don't know if it was because of just that thing in my ear and that sixth sense that whenever Eddie talked about his cancer journey, like, I always was glued to the radio and paid attention and listened. And like a year later, I was diagnosed, and I go, look at the way Eddie did it. Look how open he was. And he guided me through the whole thing with texts, with follow-ups. Just, yeah. Hey, how you doing? Hey, thinking about you. He is the absolute best.
He's great.
Take his advice. Be an advocate for yourself. What's at stake is next. Be by your phone, because we're going to tell you which game we're featuring. Then we're going to get into some Bulls talk. It's all coming up.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Some great Hawks discussion. It'll be fun to see them play this Tampa team 3 games in 4 days. Coming at you quick here. We've got what's at stake. So here's what we're going to do. Let's go 312-332-3776. 3776 right now. It's all brought to you by our friends at GT Prime. Remember, up to 50% now capacity at the city restaurants. GT Prime right in River North. They are redoing the way you think of the Chicago Steakhouse, redefining it. They are innovators. Kevin Boehm, Rob Katz, the Boca Restaurant Group. Their chef and partner, Giuseppe Tentori, is absolutely awesome. So you can go in, you can order carryout, whatever your heart desires. Check out their website at gtprimerestaurant.com. So we will give you a gift card if you win. Caller 20, you get to pick. Do you want the Hawks or Tampa tonight?
Ooh.
Tampa's the better team.
Yes, they are.
So, caller 20, you get to choose. Do you want the Hawks or Tampa? And then caller 40, you'll get the other team, and whichever team just wins on the money line, you will receive the gift card. Dude, this ensures somebody will win. Someone will win.
Choose with your heart or your head. Hawks fan.
What did he say about this goaltender who's been in net?
He hasn't given up a goal since 1914.
I know. How about that?
Yeah. I think it's been almost 120 years.
Yeah. What did he say?
Said 3 games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not the guy to ask. I have not been. I did not do the preview scouting work on the Tampa Bay Lightning other than the following. The Lightning, really good.
Really good.
Really good.
Look at the way you break it
really
down.
Really good.
Give us a scouting report if someone was just tuning in at Tampa and they're like, look, my Lightning are facing the Blackhawks, so I need a Tom Waddle, Tommy Hawk breakdown of the Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks?
Yeah.
Kaner, really good.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
The goaltending has been outstanding. They've got some young guys that are nifty with their sticks and their skates.
Fluffy passes.
Better than expected. Maybe not completely a finished product. Maybe not ready for the overall prime time, the bright lights and the big stage of an NHL Finals. But keep your head on a swivel when you play this young, exciting team with the nifty skating and the nifty stick work. Because if you don't keep your head on a swivel, they're going to knock that head of yours right off. They're not really a physical team, but you know what I'm saying. They'll come up and they'll...
they're going to knock your head off or not?
Well, yeah, you're going to win. They're going to beat you. If you let your guard down, they're going to slip one in there. They'll put the puck in the net on you if you're not paying attention.
I don't know if you know this, Doug, but back when we played, we may not have beaten you, but you knew you played the Bears.
That's right.
You knew you faced the Chicago Bears.
Bet your sweet ass. You know, a whole entire week, nobody could practice leading up to the next week's game against the Lions because the Bears beat your ass.
We may have been 1-13.
Yeah.
Oh, but damn it, you knew you played the Bears.
Wait a second. You guys won the game 40-6. I know, but man, they really physically put it on us. So, yeah, that's what you got. I broke that down for you. Now you work with it.
I love it. So I'm excited for tonight. 3-1-2. What did they take, Abdallah? Do you know yet who took which? I'm interested
to see.
How about
this? By the way, I can tell you this. In their last 4 games, the Lightning have only given up a single goal over the last 3 shutouts in 4 games, but just a single goal in 4 games. That's pretty good defensive work there, my friends.
They have a promotion on DraftKings tonight for pick the first to score. And if your guy still scores in the game, you get your bet back.
Kaner.
Well, I mean, you just told me they've given up 1 goal in 4 games.
Kaner, shut your mouth.
I went with Stamkos. Is that bad? Is that a bad Hawks fan of me? I mean, look,
we got
to separate.
Yeah, he plays for New Jersey, that's a bad choice. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
I'm going with the
You're
most
going
likely.
With your head. You're going with your head, not your heart. Yeah, I get it.
These are all soccer bets, the first to score. Yeah. I never win the first to score.
Shout out to Tom Waddle for seeing I was still on the phone and vamping for a little bit so
You're
I could finish taking the winner's information or the contestant's information.
He was vaping? What was he doing?
How about this?
I was vamping. I was vaping.
Waddle, you were so good there. Why don't you take this minute before we go to commercial break off?
I got to be honest with you.
Okay, we're giving you a head start. You helped out Abdallah, so we're helping out you.
Yeah, we're going to help you.
Get a head start.
I'll scratch.
Wet yourself.
You scratch my back and you wipe your own too. So Tony was first. Tony from Berwyn. He went with the Blackhawks.
Good.
And then Mike went with Mike from Villa Park went with Tampa, but he was happy to get Tampa because he thinks that even though he's a Blackhawks fan, he thinks they're going to win. So
okay. All right.
Sylvie, do you think there's any part of this where the Hawks look at those first two games that opened the season and they lose 10-3 in back-to-back games against the Lightning? And they say, all right, let's show them what we really have here.
Well, they could say that, but there you got to do it. You know what I mean?
No, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Well, it's going to be interesting because, like Eddie said, they did not play well even in their win against Detroit. What was it, 7-2 or something like that? They allowed, yep, I want to say, 45 shots on net. Puck Dalla knows that.
Oh,
Blue
yeah.
Line
Always.
Black knows that.
Boom. We'll put you in the boards.
So it was good maybe they got the 3 days off right at the right time, right before this big series of three games with Tampa. All right, coming up next, are you happy and how would you grade the Bulls? If we were to grade on the curve, we're not grading on a scale like the Lakers are graded on, okay, with the first half. Based on what you thought they would be, and based on that, how would you grade the Bulls' first half? And is there a player out there that the Bulls are interested at the trade deadline? We'll discuss that coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Just want to let you guys know from the room I was in visiting, I could hear the hockey talk. It was scintillating.
What was
it? The breakdown was scintillating.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you like best?
You saying that actually you got to play the games to win them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was probably the highlight. That was the highlight.
Yesterday, they didn't have a game to play, so they couldn't win.
They couldn't win. Yeah, you couldn't get that.
You can't win. You can't win a game that's not scheduled.
You cannot put the puck in the net if you're not on the ice. Just saying.
There you go. I think this is it. This is the spot. And did we see a video the other day? Did I see this right, that you had a video of a defenseman using an extra long hockey stick?
I saw that there were some guys. I forget which team it was. It was a college game, I believe. And the two defensemen found themselves on the blue line, and their sticks looked giant.
Was it just a sort of an angle, or were they experimenting with longer sticks?
I don't know. But I think my theory of longer sticks for defensemen and standard form is I think it's alive and well.
Okay. All right. So I polled this question as we move to the Bulls. The Bulls won last night against the Pelicans. Can you please stop fouling three-point shooters at the end of games?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they do play really well at times where you'll look at them and you're like, they're well coached, they're fun, they're not perfect, they haven't arrived in anything really, but they're making progress, and that's what we asked. And then there are times at the end of games where they do things that you just want to bang your head against the wall.
Yeah, I think they fouled at least twice, if not three times.
It was Kobe and Zach, both guys who had good games. Like, Zach can't do that.
Nope.
Kobe's done that a few times already.
Yeah.
I
have been impressed by what we've seen from Kobe White in the last handful of games.
Nice little bounce back.
Yeah,
right?
Nice little bounce back. Good to see.
What was a game a couple of games ago? I think against the Suns game after he went down, he did not come back and play well down the stretch. And since that time, he's had a couple of good games. So it's nice to see. And again, he's 20 or 21, whatever he is. There's so much room for growth. I got to see Wendell Carter shrug like in the first 3 minutes of the game. I don't know if you caught that. He was confused over something. How quickly can Wendell get confused? Game is always entertaining.
It is, but he did. I think he had double digit rebounds in the first half.
He shot the ball terribly, yes, but he did rebound very, very well. He had a nice block down the stretch as well. So here's what I'm asking. And a lot of people are very angry at the way Bulls fans are voting. I've gotten lots of responses. But here's the key to the Toyota Twitter poll. I ask you, grading on a curve based on your expectations, how would you grade the Bulls' first half of the NBA season?
Based on a curve and my existing expectation, I give them a B.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're the Lakers and you're two games or three games under 500, you're like, oh boy. If you're asking this question in Miami, hey, you were just in the NBA Finals and you're sub 500, how would you grade the first half of the season? You would give them a D. You would say a D. But with the Bulls, based on everything, I'm with you. It's, to me, it's a C plus B minus range.
Well, for me, it's also where I, you know, where the expectation level was. It's going to get more difficult. The second half, the schedule's going to be harder. I think you're going to see teams that made a decent run in the postseason in the bubble will find their legs in the second half and find their purpose in the second half. So you're going to have to contend with that. But I've seen some things that have entertained me, and I watch pretty much every second of the game as long as I don't have a chore or two that I'm required to do.
Black Abdallah, how did you guys vote? Based, so we're grading on a curve and your expectations going into the year.
If we're grading on a curve, which I don't like.
Why? I always wanted the teacher to grade on a curve.
Participation trophies. Like, hey, what kind of city is this? I mean,
I watched the last dance
over the summer. I want to see a championship team. I have expectations. I don't think we should be celebrating average.
Compared to last year, though, I mean, are we taking a step? The Bulls are taking a step.
I think you have to remove last year because we know that Jim Boylan was terrible. We know the last front office was terrible. Now we have people who know what they're doing in charge. So, like, okay, yeah, it was absolutely better than last year. I'll give you that.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan's not coming through that door, mister.
No,
was it better than you thought coming into the year in the first? What you were going to see in the first half, is this what you expected?
Kind of. I mean, they're 10th in the East. They're 10th in the Eastern Conference, where the fourth seed has 17 losses. You know, like, so you could either spin that one of two ways. You could say the Bulls are ahead of pace than where they should be, and that the fact that they're only a loss behind a team that's fourth in the conference, that actually shows that at the end of all of this, they may actually be the fifth seed. That's something that's possible. Or you could say the East is so bad, how are you the 10th seed right now?
Well, you know
how. I didn't answer the question of the letter grade, but like that's where I'm looking at one of these C pluses / B minuses. That's right at that 79%, that 80 mm-hmm. percentile.
Yeah, that's where
like,
I am.
Yeah, you're average, but we're also grading on a curve. You should be better than what you are.
Yeah, I'm not. See, you grade on a curve if no one gets an A, right? And then B's become the A's, and the A, is that how curves work?
Yeah, because the teacher was too difficult, and the East is easy.
You had limited expectations, like best case scenario going into this season. What? We thought the Bulls would get the eighth seed? Best case situation.
No, but best case situation would be Lauri Markkanen is a stud, and we know that he's a part of the future.
Right.
We also know that Wendell is someone that we don't have to pay attention to his shoulder shrugs. We actually know he's a dependable player for this team, and that Coby White is turning into a budding superstar. So, like, that was best case scenario, and we don't have any of that.
Yeah, to me, it's, you know, if they were the Knicks right now, where they were like, oh, they were the four seed for a little bit, and like, that's, you know, like, this team is one of the best defensive teams in the league, and they've completely turned it around, and, you know, now they're right in the middle of things in the Eastern Conference going into the All-Star break, I would say, hey, but this is kind of what I expected them to be. I didn't think they would be a playoff team this year. I said they might sneak into the eighth seed. They'll get into that play-in tournament thing that they're doing for the final seed of the playoffs. Okay, cool. I just want to see, like what Billy Donovan said yesterday, I want to see guys develop. I know who Zach LaVine is. I know he's a great player. I wanted to see Lauri Markkanen develop. We now know he's injury prone. I want to see Coby White play better. Is he? I don't know. I want to see Wendell Carter play better. Is he?
No.
Not really. So to me, you're like B minus C plus right now.
Yeah, but like you already had, I guess it's based on expectations, right? What was your expectation? What your desire was to see Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter and others, but you always had a pretty firm idea in your own mind who you thought they were, didn't you?
Okay, and expectations, Sylvie, did anyone in the city think they would be like a bottom three Eastern Conference team this year?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, no, yeah,
But you know where, like, you brought up development. I think that's a really good point. I did not know Zach would be this good. No way. I was not expecting 30 per game Zach. And that's why he's won me over, and that's why I've sung his praises. I think improving like that and being way more efficient and leading to wins is really, really important. So, yeah, I'm with you on Lowry. I'm with you on Wendell. And we actually came to the same grade. I said C plus, B minus. I just think they're overall, they're in every single game. They've choked in a few of them, but they still, to me, have been a more fun watch than even I expected.
My expectation level is obviously very low, and that's why I give them a B. Like, last year, I couldn't watch them. Like, this year, again, everything you guys are saying is fair and accurate. But, like, where my bar was be watchable, be competent, look like an NBA team at times. And Zach continued to improve. It's something we've seen over the course of the last few years. Hopefully these young guys will at the very least show you that there's progress to be made. But I had the bar so low after the Jim Boylan experience. Like, I was a broken Bulls fan.
Right.
You needed to prove it. Yeah,
right.
There's no question that my grading on a curve, everyone wants me to be your teacher based on me giving them a B. I get that. But I was so beaten down as a Bulls fan that, like, the fact that I see Billy Donovan doing things that actually make sense to me, yeah, I'm inclined to be a little bit over the top with regard to my grade passing out.
Well, you know what's funny is it's like the teacher, you know how the teacher would give you the grade, but then they would put some notes on the page like, hey, you can do better here, or this needs to be better. We all wrote different comments, but we all came to similar grades. I mean, Black and Abdal were more critical with their red ink explanation. I just wrote good job, good effort on there, B-C+. They wrote the same grade, but they said, look, Lowry, you got to be better. Wendell, stop shrugging and do something. You know, Kobe, a little more consistent and learn how to dribble better.
Mine just said, I'm glad that the circus music has stopped.
Yes.
Fun watch.
There you go. That's what I said.
No more circus music. Bravo.
Plenty of time to develop your team and be better. I'm just glad that the circus music stopped.
We see potential in the student. You guys are just happy that the kid that walked in late smelling like cigarettes showed up for the class.
Yes.
That's where I'm at. Pass him through.
Big Jean Jackety was just walking down Lawler, the smoker street.
Listen, you know what? There's plenty of time left. There's plenty of time to raise your expectation level. I just wanted to see them walk a little bit. I wanted the music to stop. No more smelling like, you know, a dumpster. I finally could sit in my chair and watch them for a full 2 hours.
They weren't burning trash.
And there are times when you think that the dumpster may have been ignited again. But listen, I've got the bar really low. Do I think that they're competing for anything? No. And it's going to look worse in the second half than it has in the first half, more than likely.
All right. There could be a player the Bulls are interested in trading for. Do you want this guy? And then also 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Just tell us. I mean, was it satisfying for you the first half of the season? Is it something that you're like, yeah, that was fun, and I get it where we're at, and it was good? Or were you more like Bleck, where you're like, this team needs to be better? I am not going to applaud mediocrity. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
This hour is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
It's a lot better than the 10 Zoom meetings you've been on today.
This may take a couple of days, maybe more.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000 and listen to Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
According to Shams on The Athletic in his article today, he writes, the Bulls have registered interest in Andre Drummond, sources said. Cleveland has had some exploratory calls on Drummond, but skepticism remains on whether the team can find a desirable trade. The center is owed $28.7 million a season. So
Last year of his deal, does he have 1 year left?
Does he have another year, or is he a free agent, guys?
I'm checking right now. I'm trying to figure it out.
You know,
he's a free agent.
Free agent.
Yeah. So, I mean, you give it a tryout to see how he would fit with your team. But you're not giving up a young player for just a few months of Andre Drummond. I mean, if you do Otto Porter in a second-round pick just to match salaries.
Listen, unless,
I would assume if the Bulls were interested.
They're looking to long-term.
Yeah, they're looking to sign him to an extension and maybe do what you said, where you try him out to see what type of an extension this could turn into, you know?
Right. But you wouldn't sign him as you acquire him, though, would you? You'd want to see him, don't you?
What
see
are you
how
giving
he fits
up
with your team? That's what I'm saying. I'm not giving up a young player for that.
If you make a trade for him, you're not letting him go via free agency. Like, this is not the guy that puts you over the top in the 2021 season.
No, but what if you trade him for Otto Porter and a second round pick? Because you're matching salary. I mean, what if they have no other choice?
I mean, is that the way you take Sham's reporting? I don't take it like his report. It says that the Bulls are interested in Andre Drummond. Why would you just swap salary just for a second round pick?
You know who he is. He's been in the league for nearly a decade. Like, you know who he is. Why are you trying him out?
Well, here's what he wrote again. The Bulls have registered interest in Drummond, sources said. Cleveland has had some exploratory calls on Drummond, but skepticism remains on whether the team can find a desirable trade. They're looking even for just a partner right now.
Yeah. I also see that Ryan Pace is willing to offer three number ones and three number twos for him.
Can he play quarterback? I mean, what is he a part of? If you sign him as a free agent, like what are you really becoming? That's a question.
Okay, he's making $29 million this year. He ain't taking a pay cut, right? I mean, he's not going to be next year. He's going to get that in free agency.
I don't have an interest in that for him. I don't.
So then you don't make the trade.
Unless you want to just see how you do this year. Because you may need a center. I mean, and Otto Porter doesn't have a role.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean?
But this is what I would say to you on that front. Same way as I tie it back to the Bears situation. Wouldn't you rather, if you know you're not winning a title, wouldn't you rather find yourself in the lottery again? As opposed to finding yourself in the sixth, seventh, or eighth seed in a bad
The play-in is up to 10 teams. That's so you could play in. We could talk more about this. Mark and Logan Square wanted to react to our poll question. Marky, you're on ESPN 1000.
I somewhat get Bleck's comments about not applauding mediocrity, but this team is miles ahead of where we were at the halfway mark last year. I used to own season tickets, and you know, I'm thinking about when the time is right purchasing them again, but I'm excited, and I haven't had this feeling in years. And I'm getting to text my dad about, you know, the Bulls and how they look, and we have not done that in years. So I get it. You know, you're a tough critic slash hater, but man, come on, appreciate what's going on, Bleck.
Wrong show. Hater comments. Caps on this show. Come on, Mark. You're better than that.
I guess that is our show.
Sure, are you okay?
You mentioned participation trophies. I am happy that I'm participating in Bulls basketball.
Yeah,
every
like
night
look, I'm not a big participation trophy guy either. But in this case, like I told you, Jim Boylan broke me.
I'm happy I'm participating.
Yeah, we're the games are fun to watch. I have no problem with that, and I'm cool with the C that they're getting because, like, if you remove the curve, I would say my answer would be it's a low C right now because you're in the low 70s, and that's where you are. But I would be like, yeah, this is a fun C- at the moment because I'm interested. I'm engaged.
Yeah.
This is a huge portion now for Arturis Karnishevis because – you've got to judge what you have, and they're going to have cap room in the offseason. And what I don't want them to do is, quote, win an offseason like everyone thought Atlanta won, and then Atlanta's in the same boat as the Bulls. They spent money, but what are they truly building? I want Karnishevis to build something, to be smart, to find stars. And I think next year at this time, Bleck, my judgment will be way more harsher on what he does with his first full offseason with all these sort of moves. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776. Also, did we get good news about Seattle being open for business with Russell Wilson? That's up in 2 short minutes.